Welcome to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast. Every 2 weeks, we explore news and issues affecting hunters, anglers, and conservation across the northeastern United States. If you enjoy the content here, be sure to subscribe to our print or digital versions by calling 800-535-5191 or visit our website at outdoornews.com. Now, here's your host and a man who claims he's immune to buck fever, New York Outdoor News editor Dan Ladd.
Greetings and welcome to 2023. I'm your host of the Great Northeast Podcast, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. Whether I'm immune to buck fever or not, I really can't tell you as of late because I didn't get a chance to find out this past hunting season. Apparently, I did not get doe fever. I was able to harvest an antlerless deer this past fall during the late muzzleloading season here in the Adirondack region. I actually took that deer from an area that has a pretty solid doe population. Our group, the Iron Sight Gang, we usually don't pick on the does too much in our mountainous areas. We just don't see a lot of deer there. But it was nice to tag a deer and put a little meat in the freezer for the winter. Enough of that. We want to welcome you to 2023. Wish you all a happy and prosperous new year. What we're going to do today is look back on a few things that went down in 2022, particularly New York's gun laws and where things are at right now with some of the lawsuits that are affecting them. Please make note that these things are changing almost on a daily basis, and we'll talk more about that. And first up, we want to tell you that if you've visited our website lately, outdoornews.com, you may have noticed some changes, and that is because we have launched a new website. We're currently in the process of what we call a soft launch. We really haven't officially rolled it out there yet, but when you make these changes, you cross a line where it's either there or it's not, and we have crossed that line. But please work with us as we work out some of the bugs. That's bound to happen whenever you make a change like this. But our IT folks, I think, have a great handle on it. The website looks great, in my own opinion, and look forward to it really being something special down the road. That said, New York Outdoor News and all the outdoor news publications, for that matter, have a lot of opportunities for reader participation. And one of the things we see a lot of that with, aside from our, you know, standard letters to the editor, that sort of thing where you're able to express your opinions, your thoughts, your reactions to something you might have read in the paper or an issue that's going on. On top of that, probably one of the biggest ones is what we call our reader shots, and that's your chance to share a photo of yourself in the outdoors, enjoying yourself, perhaps with some wild game you've harvested, your 2022 deer or buck, hopefully, perhaps a nice fish you've caught, something on a trap line. And we like those photos to be in the field photos. I'll tell you something, folks, the best time to take a picture is right after the moment has taken place. You've just downed that nice buck, or you've watched perhaps your child get their first deer. There's a level of excitement in their eyes at that time, and that is the best time to take a photo. Now, you can submit the reader shots online, and you can also submit them through a form in the paper. We sometimes put them on an entire page in the paper, or we scatter them about, and of course they will be available on the new website in places. Another way that readers engage with us, some folks like to actually write a story. We call them reader stories, and we encourage you to share your experiences in a short anecdote, maybe something along the lines of 500, 600, 700 words, a nice photo, and we try to run them when we can. We'd like to have more of them, and that's just another way that readers can engage in the paper. Of course, we have the calendar, we have our fishing reports, and again, we have our letters to the editor. We want you to be involved in the paper, and we hope you'll consider a print or digital subscription. Again, you can find that all out on our new website, outdoornews.com. We'll be right back to talk about some of the gun laws and other things going on in New York right after this.
I'm Matt Johnson from Clam Outdoors. When I'm looking for solid information to stay on good bites, I look to fishingreports.outdoornews.com. This website has the most up-to-date reports for 11 states in our region, from the Dakotas all the way to New York. Reports are compiled from the region's top pros and experts, including me and others from the Clam Pro team, plus gear reviews, pro tips, lake maps, and much more. Subscriptions start at just $2 per month. Get on top of the bites in your area with fishingreports.outdoornews.com.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. No guest this time around. This is episode 11. We began this podcast back in August, and so far we're having a great time bringing it to you on a bi-weekly basis. And this is our first go-round for 2023. Happy New Year, everybody. We want to start today's podcast officially with some information about New York, some things that have been going on lately, and our hearts reach out to the Buffalo region. What a tough time it's been for them in the last 6-8 months. Getting away from the outdoor perspective here, if you're a football fan, and this story has made national headlines, and that was Damar Hamlin, a player for the Buffalo Bills who collapsed in the field on January 2nd during a Monday Night Football game. And that was really tough on not just the NFL, but it's, again, it's extended beyond football. It's made us all look inside ourselves at our health. For Buffalo, it seems like just another bad go-round. Of course, at the end of the year, right around the holiday weekend, they had a deadly storm that killed nearly 40 people, and they're still digging out from that storm. They had the National Guard there for that. And also, the floods that have maybe come from recent rains in that area have been tough. And of course, they had the mass shooting back in May that killed 10 people and wounded 3. So it's been a tough year for our friends in Buffalo, and we just want you to know that we're thinking of you. We'll move on to some of New York's gun laws, and one of them, or a couple of them, were actually in response to that shooting in Buffalo. Mainly some laws affecting semi-automatic firearms in New York. Now you have to be 21 to purchase one, and they're registering new purchases of them. Those were some of the first gun laws that were passed in New York. And then about a month later, Governor Kathy Hochul brought together the legislature for an extraordinary session, which they say is an emergency session, even though the laws didn't take effect until some of them in September and beyond. So I don't know what the emergency was, but anyways, they passed the Concealed Carry Improvement Act, and that's what we have been dealing with as hunters and gun owners, and that's what there's been a lot of news, a lot of talk, a lot of headlines in our paper, and a lot of lawsuits having to do with this legislation. And it's tough for us to keep up with it. And we're the outdoor news media. And I'm doing my best to kind of keep things going here. But it, again, as I said earlier, it changes every day. I'll try to bring you up on some of the latest that has to do with this. And the main thing, and it's, pardon my pronunciation here, but it's the Antonyuk versus Negrelli case. And that's one that's been brought over by the, or brought forth, I should say, by the Gun Owners of America, including the New York chapter of that. And that is challenging a number of provisions in the Concealed Carry Improvement Act, some of the social media restraints. But one of the biggest ones is the list of sensitive areas, the places you can't carry a concealed firearm. That's that case has been getting a lot of news lately because Letitia James, the New York State Attorney General, has just filed a motion to keep a stay in place that was put previously on a temporary restraining order that a previous judge had pulled on that case, or put on that case, so that it removed the sensitive areas requirement. That case and two others on January 9th are supposed to come in front of the Second Circuit District Court in New York City for an appeal. So that's what's going on, and there's other cases. Again, folks, there's a lot going on here, and rather than sit here and try and sort through them, I encourage you to become informed on this stuff. And the best way you can do it, one, is to read our paper. And I'm not just saying that because I want you to read our paper, but that's our job. Our job is to try our best to inform you. And as hard as we try, it's still difficult to roll all of this into one article or two articles or three articles. It's really difficult, and it changes, again, all the time. So read as much as you can. You know, our newspaper and our website, we do the best we can. Any other local news outlets, whether it's TV, radio, other podcasts, newspaper stories, stay informed on this stuff. Now, I'm going to give you a website here. It's the New York chapter of Gun Owners of New York, And again, that organization has done a lot to fight for us, as has the Second Amendment Foundation, New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, with some support from the NRA. These folks all got lawsuits out there challenging the Concealed Carry Improvement Act. And the website they have is goanys.com. Go there and click on lawsuits, and they have a table there of a number of lawsuits. Another one that's coming up that's being worked on by our guest we had on, Paloma Capanna, a few episodes ago, has to do with a whole bunch of really stringent restrictions they put on firearms dealers. Now a person under 18 cannot walk in without an adult to a gun shop. How does that affect the big box stores? Technically, Walmart sells guns, and someone under 18 should not be in there because that place sells guns. A lot of these laws come down to how you interpret them, and that has to do with the sensitive areas. And there's just so much on this, and there's ways it affects hunters. We looked at the transport laws and what it would mean if you're on your way to a hunting area and you've got four or five guys with you and you want to stop for coffee. One, you've got to lock up all those guns. Out of sight, hard case. The law says it's got to be fireproof. We can't find a fireproof case anywhere. The state says it's okay not to have a fireproof case, even though the law does say it. So those are the things that have been confusing us, the ambiguity. And again, the sensitive areas has been a tough one because, as one of our subjects in an upcoming article in the next edition of New York Outdoor News, the January 13th edition, will say, is that basically you can't carry a firearm anywhere. Now, one thing I should point out about the Concealed Carry Improvement Act, it was passed about a week after the Supreme Court of the United States ruled on the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin case, which kind of leveled the playing field for the state's prior proper cause scheme when it came to issuing concealed carry permits. Now, if you went to get a handgun permit in New York, the type of permit you were issued depends on the county you lived in. You might have a county administrator who would just grant you the permit as long as you had what was required by the state to have a pistol permit, which is fingerprints registered with the federal government. I think four character references, training class. Basically, you're pretty clean if you get a handgun permit in New York. Some counties would issue the concealed carry permit. Others, including the one that I live in, would issue a restricted permit. When I got my permit several years ago, I was told that I could only use it for target shooting and for sporting purposes. So if I was going hunting, I could take it with me. If I was going to the range, I could shoot it, but I could not load it up, put it in my pocket, and carry it anywhere. What the Bruin decision did was kind of level that playing field. It told New York that all administrators of handgun permits had to issue concealed carry. Am I wrong in saying that the Concealed Carry Improvement Act was an overreaction? They kind of make it sound like you can just get a permit, you know, walk into a store, buy a gun, and carry it. And that's not the case. If you have a handgun permit in New York, again, you're probably about as clean as you can be, and you're probably not part of the problem with crime in New York State. And that's exactly what we pointed out, one of our subject pointed out in the next edition of New York Outdoor News. But again, I encourage you to keep up with these laws as best as you can. Get involved and keep in mind that whether you live in New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, any state where gun laws are being considered by your Congress, make sure you contact your legislators and let them know how you feel. When we come back, we're going to talk all things moose in the Northeast, so stay with us.
If you know a kid who loves to hunt and fish, tell them to check out the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team. The Junior Pro Team is about becoming a pro and sharing your photos, videos, and tips. There's members-only discounts, plus members can win gear with our weekly drawings. Membership to the Junior Pro Team is free, and kids get a decal, window cling, and membership card when they join. Check out the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and join the team online at juniorproteam.com.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd from New York Outdoor News. Happy to be along with you for episode 11 of this podcast and wishing everyone a happy and prosperous 2023. One of my favorite subjects is moose. If you've never had a chance to go on a moose hunt, by all means, I encourage you to do so. Probably about 10 years ago, I went to Newfoundland for a week, And it was just a great time. It was expensive. I won't lie to you there. It did cost some money. But looking back, it's one of the greatest things I've ever done in my life. I really enjoyed it and would love to do it again sometime. In this current issue, the upcoming issue, I should say, of New York Outdoor News, we talk a lot about Western hunts, what you've got to do to travel to the West, taking airline trips, how to handle your guns in that situation, finding outfitters, things like that. But the reality is we have some pretty big game opportunities right here in the Northeast, especially when it comes to moose. And in the case of the state of Pennsylvania, even elk, you can apply for an elk permit in Pennsylvania. Now, every year, retired editor Steve Pyatt puts together an article on obtaining moose hunting permits in northeastern states. The big three are Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont. And just so you know, your greatest opportunity for getting a permit is probably in Maine, even though it's very difficult. You know, the odds are lower for out-of-state residents, obviously better for in-state residents, but the bottom line is they just issue more permits. Now, I've done some deer hunting in Maine, up in northern Maine, in along the Canadian border with my good friend Randy Flannery, who was an outfitter up there, and we saw more moose than we did deer. And we had a great time with Randy. Obviously, he's a well-known deer tracker and stalker and a close friend, actually. And if I was ever to draw a moose permit, I would try to draw it for that area myself in northern Maine. And I can't think of what the unit is off the top of my head here, but I believe it's near Washington County. But there's other places. It's a big state, and there's a lot of moose in Maine. But getting a permit is hard. New Hampshire and Vermont also issue permits. I'm a little more in tune with what's going on in Vermont. I know up there in the Northeast Kingdom along the Canadian border, they try to really keep the moose population in check up there because of winter ticks. They're killing the moose, and they're really trying to keep the numbers in check. So I think they issued around 100 permits this year. I can't recall our reporting on it, but we did report on it, and they had a successful season in the fall. Let's talk about New York. Here in New York, the Adirondack region is known for its moose sightings, even though we do see moose all over the state, even in the southern parts. Moose tend to wander in the early fall or even the late summer, just about the time their rut starts, and into the fall months. But the Adirondacks is really where we see moose, and I have monitored them personally just because of my own interest. And I just enjoy keeping track of moose. And boy, I'll tell you, if we ever had a hunting season here, which we'll talk about in a second, I would be one of the first in line for that, let me tell you. But I had the opportunity to spot a big bull in the central Adirondacks on a kayak fishing trip one time, and that was just a wonderful experience. I have to say, it was great. My buddy and I watched this moose for probably 10 minutes, and we were within maybe 50 yards of him. We didn't want to get too close because he was a big boy, let me tell you. Another opportunity I had a few years back was the Pittman-Robertson money here. The money that we spend as licensed hunters goes to a lot of programs, and one of them has been moose research in New York State. And there were some aerial surveys that were being done. They may still be ongoing. I'm honestly not sure of that. But I was invited for a helicopter ride, and what we were doing was monitoring how many moose calves there were in certain areas. And the Adirondacks is a big place, and a lot of people think moose hide out in the swamps, and that may be the case in the summer. But in the winter and fall months, they're more likely to be where there's food. And just like deer, they like young growth. So we were flying over conservation easements, areas that big timber companies own and do a lot of logging on. Those are the places that offer the best habitat for moose and deer alike. And that leads me to this. People wonder if the moose population will grow in New York, if it's going to continue to grow, and the Adirondacks in particular. Now, the Adirondacks encompass 6 million acres of both private and public lands. Even though it's called a park, there's a little more than 3 million acres of that is private land that people like me own. The rest of it is public land, the Adirondack Forest Preserve. However, once property is entered into the forest preserve, it is no longer harvested. The state constitution prevents timber harvesting. Now, I just said that moose thrive in young growth forests. So as we continue to expand the forest preserve and add public lands that will no longer be timber harvested, we're going to be taking away moose habitat. So it's a pretty simple equation. Just do the math down the road. If we continue to make some of these big conservation easements that are out there, if they are eventually turned into public forest preserve lands and don't remain as conservation easements, then you're going to be scratching off long-term some moose habitat. And the other thing they talk a lot about is climate change. And however you feel about climate change, bottom line is if it is warmer, the moose will move farther north. They're not a warm weather species. So that's the outlook for moose here in New York. And also the outlook, again, for moose hunting in the Northeast. If it's something you really want to try, I encourage you to keep an eye out for Steve's article, or I'll make sure something gets in the paper later this year. Usually the lottery time is around the late spring, early summer. So put it on your list. Start Googling some of those DNRs for Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, or consider a trip into Canada for a guided trip, that is, an outfitting trip, and you will have the time of your life. We'll be right back with more from the Great Northeast Podcast right after this.
New York Outdoor News is the most timely and reliable source for hunting, fishing, and conservation news in the Empire State. 26 times per year, we'll drop our print edition directly into your mailbox, or you can access our digital content via your laptop, tablet, or smartphone. Annual print or digital subscriptions start at just $30. The state's best fishing reports, the latest news from the DEC, and top hunting and fishing tips. To subscribe, visit outdoornews.com/New York.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. And once again, a happy 2023. We wish to all of our listeners, all of our readers, everyone in the outdoor news community, we hope you have a prosperous new year this year. And looking ahead, it's showtime out there. We're really happy to be getting outdoor news back into the trade shows, the sports shows that go on during the winter months and the spring months, and even a few in the summer. A couple coming up on January 14th, I'm personally going to be in Wells, New York, a little tiny Adirondack town. The Fish and Game Club over there has a sportsman swap meet. And if you're in that region, stop and say hello. I'm going to be manning a booth there and hanging out, shaking some hands, talking with some folks. Great little Adirondack town over there in Wells, New York. January 21st, 22nd is the Albany Gun Show at the Empire State Plaza. We will not have a booth there, but they will be handing out some papers there. So if you're not familiar with the paper, be sure to stop and grab a copy. And then on January 27th to 29th, we will be at the New York Sportsman's Expo at the New York State Fairgrounds in Syracuse. Further shows coming in February, Johnstown, Hamburg, Suffern, I should say February and March. We're going to be hitting those shows across New York. We hope to see you at one of those and stop by the booth, say hello, perhaps renew your subscription, get a free hat. It's a good time. We just like seeing people. I'll try to make a few. I know, again, I'll be in Wells. I intend to be at the Johnstown show in Fulton County, New York myself. And otherwise, we'll have a whole variety of folks working those booths. Some nice, friendly folks. Hope you stop and see them. Something I want to talk about as we close out this podcast, the first of our new year, is getting involved with things that have to do with the outdoors. We really need more people to be involved, folks. Jeff Murray, one of our contributing writers, has an article on the front page of the January 13th issue about the New York State Conservation Council. Now, this is a group that is at the top of the hierarchy of a whole, I should say, cycle, or again, I'll use the term hierarchy, of sporting clubs across New York. They have a lobbyist in Albany that looks out for sportsmen's issues, keeps an eye on legislation. They do a lot for sportsmen, and we should be doing a lot more for them and other organizations like them. But they're falling on hard times, like a lot of other volunteer organizations, where people are just very busy. You know, we're all busy, and I certainly understand that. But what it's come down to, folks, is really, as licensed buying sportsmen, that's just not enough anymore. The bottom line is we need to get more people involved. For many years, there's been people that have been doing this, wearing these hats, being involved in organizations at the county level, the local level, conservation groups. There's so many ways. But a lot of those folks are aging out. Probably 10 or 15 years ago, I started attending meetings at my county federation, and we used to get 15, 20, 30 people at those meetings. Now we have five. We're lucky if we have 10. It's really tough getting participations. So here's how it works, okay? Let's say you belong to a local fishing game club, rod and gun club, whatever you want to call it. If you don't, consider joining one, because they can certainly use your dues. They can certainly even more use your participation. There's so many things that these clubs can do in a community, and the bigger clubs and the well-organized clubs are doing it. For example, New York State High School Clay Target League. This is an organization that's really getting popular across New York. And what it is high school students and even junior high students shooting competitively in trap leagues. And they need a place to shoot, and they're turning to clubs. And what's happening is the bigger clubs or the more organized clubs are being swelled with these kids coming in and the school teams, and we just need more. So for a club to be able to support that, they need to have a trap field, and they need to have people to be able to help run these shoots. That's just one example. There's other examples out there. A lot of these sporting clubs have kids fishing tournaments every year. They do things on National Hunting and Fishing Day. There's just endless things. So think about how you can help, whatever your level of expertise is. Maybe you're good at tying flies. Maybe you know something about reloading. Maybe you just want to help coach a high school clay target league. You can get involved at the school level, but the club is going to need some help too. So the clubs often belong to a county sportsman's federation, a county conservation council. For example, where I am, we have the Washington County Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs. Next door, we have the Warren County Conservation Council. These are groups that are at the county level, obviously, and they're made up of clubs within that county. Now, going a step higher, the county federations belong to a regional fish and wildlife management board. So we have a region 2, we have a region 3, and a region 8 and 9, and so on. That region's fish and wildlife management board in New York is made up of these county federations. Now, a lot of these county federations belong to the New York State Conservation Council as well. So this is where our voice counts for something. Our voices can be heard. Think of all of the maybe 1 million or whatever that number is of licensed sportsmen in the state came together as one. Think of the things that we could do. Again, there's just not enough involvement. We have people that I'm seeing at these meetings that are in their 80s, and they're performing the tasks that much younger people should be doing. Now, I know we're busy. I'm a busy person myself, and even before coming to New York Outdoor News, I maintained a full-time job and two or three other part-time jobs. But I have always been able to find time for my sporting interests because it's important to me. So that's the question. How important is it to you? Do you have a couple hours a week or a couple hours a month that you can dedicate? Do you have an extra $40, $50 that you can spend to join a club and be part of something that's really special? This is a great institution, by the way. I can't think of better people to hang out with than fellow sportsmen. And that's what I like about the industry so much is these are just great people. They're fun people to be around. But getting back to how you can be involved, again, I know people are busy, but yet many of us have no problem getting to the back 40 tree stand several times a week during deer season or spending a couple nights a week out on our favorite bass pond. We find time to be outdoors. We also need to find time to support the things that we do outdoors. So we hope you'll get involved somehow. Really think about that. I'm sorry if I'm putting you on a guilt trip here because I don't mean to do that. It's just we're turning the corner on another year here. And once again, we're just seeing a lack of involvement in participation with these groups. Another thing you can do is you could join a group if you're into turkeys, perhaps a National Wild Turkey Federation. There's a local chapter in your area. You know, the National Deer Alliance, Trout Unlimited, Whitetails Unlimited, Ducks Unlimited. There's Pheasants Forever, the Rough Grouse Society. There's just so many of them. I'm sorry if I left some out. But again, you probably have a skeleton crew operating a local chapter of one of those groups, and they can always use some help too. And just think of how great it could be if all of these groups could just come together and really make something special happen. We're going to part on that note. We want to wish you a happy new year, a prosperous 2023. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another podcast. Until then, We hope you got some fish on your line and your game bag is full. Have a great time in the outdoors, folks. We'll see you soon. Don't forget to visit our new website, outdoornews.com.
Missed a past episode of the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast? You can find previous programs at outdoornews.com or via your favorite podcast streaming platform. And for the rest of the story on the topics we cover on this program, get yourself a subscription to Outdoor News. Simply call 800-535-5191 or visit us at outdoornews.com. And don't forget to join us again here in 2 weeks to talk everything out of doors. Thanks for listening to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast.